Alan Zweibel and Dave Barry are on the show with me today. Let me give you a little resume on each of these guys. Alan has won several Emmy Awards for his work on the original seasons of Saturday Night Live, as well as It's Gary Shandling Show and Monk and Curb Your Enthusiasm. On Broadway, he co-wrote showcase shows for Gilda Radner and Martin Short and Billy Crystal. He's also, as far as I know, the only author who was allowed to actually read his book out loud on The Letterman Show. That book was called The Other Shulman, and he and I had a great discussion about it a few years ago. About the same time, that book won the Thurber Prize. So, Alan, welcome back. It's nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, too. We're on television right now?
No.
No? Well, okay.
We're just doing radio. That's all we're doing. Dave Barry.
I keep flipping around looking for myself. Okay.
You got to go back and look at YouTube to find yourself from Letterman. Dave Barry, of course, you know, he's the Pulitzer Prize winning author who wrote a syndicated column for 22 years, had a TV show of his own based on his work called Dave's World. He's written more than 36 books, including 7 of them with our friend Ridley Pearson. And now the two of these guys, Alan and Dave, have collaborated on a comic novel called Lunatics. Dave, nice to talk to you again.
So wait, there was no reason for me to put makeup on?
Just the same reason you have every single day.
Yeah.
Dave, I want to start with you because I've talked to you and Ridley so many times about the books that you've written together. Is your new life plan to get somebody else to write half your book so you could publish twice as many?
What I'm really working toward is that I'll get Alan to write a book with Ridley, and somehow I will get the money. That's my actual goal here in this plan. I know Ridley's probably listening. Ridley!
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah. I'm sure he is. He even tweeted about the fact that you guys would be on with me today. So that's a nice triumvirate of writers right there, the three of you. Alan, the book Lunatics starts out at a kid's soccer game and ends up with a trip to Tiananmen Square in China and the Republican National Convention. I'm one of those hosts who doesn't give away the middle of the book. I give away the beginning,
you're right,
the beginning and the end. Tell me about the genesis of the book and how you two started working together, Alan.
Well, about 5 years ago, Dave was just, we were down in Washington, D.C. at a event. The Mark Twain Award was given to Steve Martin, and Dave was a presenter, and I helped my friend Larry David write his speech. And there was an after party, and I saw Dave, and I was familiar with his work, but what I wasn't familiar with him is being on all fours on the ground, groveling in my direction, saying, please write with me, please write with me. So what I did was I thought about it, threw him a bone, and I knew that his daughter played soccer. My kids had played soccer. So we said, hey, let's do something together about the two soccer dads having a little spat at a soccer game, and let's alternate chapters, and let's see where it takes us.
Okay, that's accurate, except for the part where I groveled for Alan. In fact, it was only after 2 weeks duct taped to a chair in his basement that I agreed to go along with it. Otherwise, I was, you know, at that point, I became more enthusiastic.
I should share with my audience that the book does go back and forth between the two main characters and the two main voices in this. And you can hear in their voices here today. And if you could read the emails that the three of us sent to each other this morning, you would see that much of what happens in the book is really the way these guys speak about each other. So tell me, I know that, Dave, when you've written with Ridley, it's been write a chapter, send it off, see what he says. He writes a chapter and sends it back. Did you do it the same way with Alan?
Yeah. The difference is when Ridley and I worked on the Starcatchers books, we had, and I don't want to get too technical here, but we had a thing called a plot. I don't know.
There's that word again. Damn.
Whereas with Alan, it was really, he said, like, well, this idea, which is, you know, that this guy calls this, you know, offsides call, and that's really the idea, you know, and the other guy didn't like it. And so we had these two guys, and so he wrote his guy, a guy kind of like Alan, you know, a big, nice, kind of goofy guy with a really unusually large head. It's a good thing we're not on television. So. And then I wanted a guy to be my character to be very different. So my character is just a hideous, horrible human being, just a bad, you know, just a nasty, obnoxious. He's a forensic plumber. That's his job. He testifies for the prosecution or the defense in cases where, for example, somebody's been murdered with a commode.
Mm-hmm.
This is where my man's expertise comes in.
Fits right into your lifelong fascination with toilets,
doesn't
it, Dave?
Yeah. And it turns out there is such a job as forensic plumber for anybody, and young
really?
People who might be listening looking for a career opportunity.
Wow.
Any of you kids out there who think you have a bleak future, just go this way, perhaps.
So I wrote my guy, and then we went back and forth. But the thing is, the kind of the fun part, you really didn't know what the other guy was going to do. And so I sort of look forward to getting a chapter and saying, oh man, what am I going to do with it? It was like we created problems for each other rather than solving them.
Now, Alan, you've done a lot of stuff in improvisational comedy, of course, with Curb. And in the early days, you worked with some of the best improvisers in the world on Saturday Night Live. And you've written for some of the guys who, off the top of their heads, can create anything. And I know that one of the things about the world of improv is, when you're on stage with somebody, you got to say yes and. Whatever they come up with, whichever way they take it, you got to follow along. Is that what you had to do in the book with Dave?
Yeah, by and large, yes, because he would send something to me. I'd read it, I'd laugh, and then I'd go, oh, Christ, what am I going to do here? As opposed to saying, wait a second. You know, I don't think that there were really, there was one or two times it was a wait a second that Dave blew the whistle on me because I had a continuity thing. Okay. I had my guy had two children and at one point. It was about six or seven names for these two children, you know, but other than those kind of things, it was like, okay, accept what the other guy has just handed you and answer it and move the story forward somehow.
So you're not getting into arguments over whether it's a lemur or a marmoset?
No, we established early on.
I had to look up lemur, so I wasn't going to argue with him.
It was Buddy the lemur. But what happened was when we got going, because we were trying to top each other, basically, these two guys who don't like each other at all and don't ever want to see each other at all, because of a series of coincidences, get forced back into each other's company. And the nature of things is such that within a matter of hours, they have unintentionally hijacked a clothing optional cruise ship.
Yep.
Fairly early
and
on.
And from that point, the plot gets a little odd.
From that point, only at that point.
Yeah, up until then, it makes perfect sense.
And then many, many different characters, you know, Chuck E. Cheese appears, Donald Trump appears.
Yes,
Charo,
he does.
The great performer Charo, we may very well resurrect her career with this book, appears in a major role.
Now, I'm curious. I just want to go back to this for a second, Alan, because, the whole improv nature of your past, but when you've written your novels, have you outlined them ahead of time? I know that's a word that Dave has no familiarity with, the word outline and plotting and that sort of stuff. He was forced into it by other authors, but did you have to force him into that? And do you use that, or do you just kind of wing it yourself when you're writing?
First of all, I didn't force Dave into it because this was the nature of what we were doing, okay? The only time expression we used was no steering, okay? Well, let's just see where this takes us. The only time that we did discuss steering it, if you will, was when our editor said, hey, it's due Tuesday, so we better end this thing, okay? So that was the only time that there was ever an instruction
otherwise,
as far as direction
otherwise,
was
Alan would still be sending me chapters, even though the book is already out.
Yeah, there's one on your way right now. It's great, by the way. So, but in answer to your question, when I'm alone and I'm doing anything, whether it's a script or another kind of a book, it's not necessarily a detailed outline, but I do have, index cards, which sort of give a little map of where I'll be going, you know. So it's a little, signpost here and there. But with this one, no.
You hear this, Dave? A map of where you're going.
Ridley. Sounds like Ridley.
Now, I've read the book in hardcover. I know that you must have done an audio book. Did you guys get to voice the audio book, and did each of you take the role of one character, and that was your chapter?
Yes, we did do the audio book. I did my part in perhaps half an hour, and why Bell is still recording it.
I'm just about done with my part. I had never done an audio book before, and the character that I wrote, Philip, he speaks in long sentences, and the style of the writing there is a little bit more stream of consciousness. And I never gave any thought to it in terms of what it would be like to actually say these words out loud. So when they got me in the booth to do the audio part and to read his stuff, you know, oh, God, I had to take pit stops in the middle of sentences. I get to a part, and I look ahead and go, oh, God, there's four more lines to this, and I'm out of breath. I had a real tough time.
Will this affect your future writing? If you're thinking to yourself, well, I may have to do the audiobook of my next book, I'm going to write in much shorter sentences?
Oh, absolutely. Everything I write from now on is going to be in Braille.
That doesn't even make any sense.
It makes no sense.
I actually
laughed out loud at a joke that makes no sense. I think it was the timing. That's all it was. Now, I read that Universal has already acquired the rights to the book and is turning it into a movie starring Steve Carell. Can you confirm?
Yes.
Congratulations.
We were very fortunate before the book was even probably finished, I guess. Steve Carell's producers had read, 200, 250 pages of it and liked it enough to pass it up to Steve. And Steve said, well, let's get going on this. Let's acquire it. So, yeah, it was already packaged that way before the book was published.
Will he be playing Horkman or Peckerman?
He's attached to play Horkman.
Okay. All right. When people read the book, they'll be able to now visualize Steve Carell. Anybody else who's attached to it who will be playing any roles that you know of?
David Lamb and Charo for other reasons, but other than that, no. Right now we're doing the acts of the script, and it's going to go through the normal development process. But as the script is built, is written and all of that, other elements will start to fall into place, I'm sure.
And Dave, I didn't hear. Did you just ask me a question?
Yeah, I wondered if you were angling for a part.
Of course I'm angling for the part. Actually, the part I want to have is to do the audiobook of your next one that you don't want to read. I'm available, guys.
We had you slotted for Charo. I don't know if you've seen her lately.
You know what? I may actually be more attractive than Charo at this point. I'm not sure. I haven't seen her in a very, very long time. Does she still do the coochie-coochie thing?
I don't know, to be honest.
I think that's the only thing she does. It's basically just, incoherent mutterings and with some memories of twitching.
Well,
that's what she does.
Then I'm in. Talk about typecasting. Dave, on another subject, we talked about the books you've done with Ridley, the Peter and the Starcatcher series, and you've done other books together. Last time we talked, there were questions about whether the Broadway show was going to go forward. What's the status of that?
Oh, it's happening. In fact, the premiere is April 15th.
Congratulations!
The whole thing, and they've got the original cast has been re-signed, and it's going to be a Broadway show. Everybody's very excited about it.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's a musical, right?
Well, it's called The Play with Music. It has songs in it. I think there's some technical definition of musical that it is not, but it's an amazing production. The guy who wrote it is Rick Ellis, the same guy who wrote Jersey Boys, and it's not a kids' show. It's for grown-ups, but it's very funny. He took our story. It's still kind of our story, but he just did this amazing thing with it, and the production is fantastic, so we're really looking forward to it.
What is it that elevates it from not being a kid show, since the books were they weren't aimed necessarily at kids, but they certainly had a huge young audience?
Well, it's not like a romantic adventure for kids. It's very funny, and it uses lots and lots of wordplay and unbelievably clever staging, but it sort of explores the whole never grow old thing. And who are you thing from a more adult perspective. Kids like it. I mean, in fact, the show, kids love it, but it's not being marketed as like the, a Peter Pan on Broadway. It's being marketed as a show for grown-ups, really.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it when it opens in April, and hopefully enough of a success that it tours around the country and comes here to St. Louis.
You want to be in that show too, Paul?
No.
How are you on the harness?
I'm terrible. That's what I'm worried about.
Anyway.
I don't know any adult male who voluntarily gets into a harness of any kind. Not the kind that makes you fly, anyway.
Well, Wydell, like, pretty much every night, but that we weren't going to talk about that.
Hey, any mail while I was gone?
Look, Mr. Thurber Prize winner. But by the way, which pays more, a Thurber Prize or a Pulitzer Prize?
I don't know.
Is there a cash award for each of these?
Yeah, you, there is for the for a Pulitzer.
Thurber is $5,000.
Well, I think it's like that for... Yeah. Might be that for a Pulitzer. I can't believe we're discussing this.
Well, I'm just curious about
how much do you make, Paul?
Speaking of prizes, watch this segue. I mentioned that the book ends up at the Republican National Convention, which your home state of Florida, Dave, is hosting.
That's right.
This year.
In Tampa.
Is Florida ready to be the center of the political world again, considering how brilliantly you did it in 2000?
When we lived up to our official state motto, Florida, you can't spell it without duh. I don't know, man. I always get nervous when Florida is required to do anything that infects the rest of the nation. I always think we shouldn't even be allowed to vote. All our electoral votes should be cast by, like, Nebraska or some responsible state. So it makes me nervous. At least it's not in Miami. If they held a political convention here in Miami, I would be terrified.
Why?
Because it's the weirdest city on earth. Things never go right here. I mean, they never go the way they're planned to go here. So
yeah. And Alan, what's the story with Curb Your Enthusiasm? Since we've talked about Dave's other projects, what's going on with you and Larry and the new season of Curb?
I don't know. You know, those are always up to Larry, you know, and what he does every year is, he takes some time off and sees whether or not he can fill 10 shows with plot and whatever. So he's doing that right now. So I don't know officially what the future of the show is or what Larry's thinking about that.
I think people get confused when they hear that Curb Your Enthusiasm is improvised. They think that everybody just shows up and kind of wings it, which, of course, is not the case. Larry has to come up with the ideas. And then what's your role in the show?
Well, the first few years of the show, I was a producer on it, and then the role was to sit with Larry and break down the story and take each scene and give it bullet points, right? And then when you get on the set, basically tell the actors, Larry would tell the actors, say whatever you want, but hit these points because that's our plot.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been with the show in that capacity in a few years. I was in an episode this past season.
Yes, I remember.
So, I played a character named Duckstein. I had no first name. I was Duckstein, and I basically chased Larry around the episode. I asked him to have lunch with me, and he didn't want to even know. He wouldn't even look in my direction.
Yep.
So, and I didn't exactly have – that wasn't a stretch for me, by the way. It's basically every day that happens to me. That's why I eat alone a lot.
Well, I just want to say, though, that Larry – we did a reading in – not a reading. We did a presentation of the book with David Steinberg in L.A. a couple weeks ago, and Larry David came.
Oh, was that hopefully videotaped? Will we be able to see that? Will that be part of the Inside Comedy series that he's doing now?
Well, no, it won't be. I'm a producer on that as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What that is interviewing, and there was one on last night that we've actually aired three shows. David is great at it, and because he's David, he's able to get everybody to speak to him. And the first episode a couple of weeks ago was Don Rickles and Jerry Seinfeld. Last week was Chris Rock by himself. And last night was Jane Lynch and Steve Carell.
Oh.
So every week the format is a little different in terms of the combinations of people. And as far as the presentation that Dave and I did, no, I asked David, who's a friend, and I'm working with him on this show, we interview the two of us, but if anything exists, maybe the venue we're in took us, they may have taken some sort of archival sort of tape of it, but no, it won't be on the series.
I've been watching the David Steinberg show, didn't know you were involved in it, and thought that the episode with Chris Rock was one of the best discussions about comedy I've seen in a really long time, so congratulations to you and David on that.
Well, thank you. It's really, it's David's triumph, but yes, it's... you see comedians in a different light, and they're not necessarily performing, but they're funny at times, but they reveal themselves as people, and it's intriguing.
It's terrific. All right, let me get the plugs in. So now we got to plug Showtime series Inside Comedy. We've got to plug the upcoming Broadway show, Peter and the Starcatchers, but mostly we have to plug...
We're also both selling Amway.
But mostly we have to plug the new comic novel, Lunatics, written by my guests, Alan Zweibel and Dave Barry. It's a real pleasure to talk to you guys again. Good luck with all of that stuff and everything else, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Paul.
So do I. Thanks a million, Paul.
Alan Zweibel and Dave Barry here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.